This is a time I've been looking forward to this for a while, and we're going to ask Pastor John to come and share the word with us, okay? So come on up.
Luke chapter 3:23. This is now, you don't have to find it. Luke chapter 3:23 says, Jesus started his ministry when he was about 30 years old. When Jesus started his ministry in Judea, what was the very first thing that he has done? I will give you a hint. Jesus did one thing right before he went into the wilderness in order to fasting and to be tempted by devil. Before we go to the wilderness, what he did? Oh, baptism is easy. Why did Jesus start his public ministry with baptism? Why baptism? The baptism event at the beginning of his public ministry represents the death and the resurrection event at the end of his public ministry. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 says, "Do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death." The baptism event is the cross event. The baptism event is the resurrection event. From the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus demonstrates what he's going to do at the end of his life on the earth. It tells us in Matthew 3 that when Jesus started his ministry in the Jordan River, he goes to the John the Baptist to be baptized by him. But John the Baptist said, "Oh, I need baptized with, by you. How come you come to me?" John the Baptist is the Jesus' relative. So they know each other very well from the very beginning of their age. Jesus knows that, John knows that, Jesus has no sin. Jesus is not a sinner. But Jesus said to him, "Allow him now, for it is becoming to us to fulfill all the righteousness." So John the Baptist goes into the river with Jesus and baptized him with a trembling heart. When Jesus went up out of the water, the heaven was opened to him. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And there was a voice from the heaven saying, "This is my son, in whom I well pleased." It is very important, it is very significant that from after the Holy Spirit descended upon him, Jesus has started his ministry by the power of the Holy Spirit. Even though Jesus came to the earth as the Son of God, he did not start his ministry by his own power, by his own wisdom, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, after the Holy Spirit came down upon him, Jesus' ministry has been started publicly. Evil spirit was cast out. The lame was stood up. The the blind gained his sight. Whenever he speaks, there was the authority and power, and the miracle took place in his ministry. My brothers and sisters, don't feel so bad. Even though you don't have enough power, don't feel lose your heart. Even though you don't have any wisdom, don't think that I cannot do something that is great because I'm not a pastor. I do not have any theological background, so I cannot do something that is great. Don't think that way, my brother, sister. I believe that if you are filled by Holy Spirit, who has been descended upon Jesus, we will have power and wisdom. Yes, indeed, wisdom does not come from the seminary. Authority and power do not come from the ordination. If you are anointed by the Holy Spirit and heard a voice from the heaven saying, "You are my son and daughter, and with whom I am very pleased. Therefore, go and do my work." I believe that you and I can do and can fulfill the task that he gave us. As you already know, I'm not a very smart person. When I packed my personal belonging things to move from LA to Hong Kong a year ago, I accidentally found my elementary school report. I opened my school report to see how I was doing. I saw many glorious grades, lots of crowns and crosses, into my school report, which means thief. And I saw many D's also, and a few B's and A's. When I was in a high school student, I joined the drama team in the school, and I gave my life for drama, to be a movie star. Instead of being a good student, I devoted myself to drama. But when I was in the third grade in senior high school, in high school, I started to attend the church nearby my house and found Jesus, my Savior. One day, when I was reading the Bible, I saw Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. It said, "Do not think to say within yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." At the moment, the Bible verse came into my mind as God's word. If God can make stone Abraham's children, God can take me and mold me into his useful instruments, even though I am like a useless stone. After I immigrated to Hawaii in 1981, I had to go through the very difficult period of time. I wanted to go to the college to study, but I had to go to the restaurant instead. On top of that, it seems to me that my English never improved, even though I studied very hard the English. During the period of time, I could not do nothing but pray. One night, after I prayed in a Korean church, I was walking home. on the way home, I saw little stone on the ground. I just picked up that little stone, and I thought about Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. Once again, do I really believe that God can make this little stone Abraham's children? I do believe God is the Almighty God who created heaven and earth. If He is able to do so, God can make me His instruments, even though I am like a useless stone. Do I really believe so? I do believe. Yes, I do believe. While I was walking home, I lift up that little stone and praising the Lord, and then I was I prayed to God, and then I brought the little stone home and put on my desk to not to forget Matthew chapter 3 verse 9. My brothers and sisters, I believe that if we are fully filled with Holy Spirit who had descended upon Jesus, we will have power and wisdom, and we can be His useful servant, even though we are just like a little stone on the ground. If you turn the Bible on Acts chapter 1, there is a marvelous event of Jesus' ascension. Can you imagine that? In your mind, on the hill called the Mount of Olives, Jesus delivered His last message in front of His disciples, and lifted up His hand and blessed them. And then suddenly He started to ascend to heaven. As He was watching, as they are watching, until a crowd hid Him so that they could not see Him no longer. Before He ascended to heaven, Jesus commanded them one thing. What is that? Let's turn the Bible on Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. It says that, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, we have heard from Me. Wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from Me. What does Jesus mean by saying, which you have heard from Me? He means that He had already told them about the promise of the Father so many times. What is the promise of the Father? Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Let's read the Bible. Let's read verse 8. But you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witness to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Disciples saw Jesus' resurrection, and so even His even His ascension. However, they still do not have any power and wisdom. They received Jesus' commission to be witness to Him, to the end of the earth. However, they could not know what they have to do, at where and how. So they joined together consistently in the upper room of the Mark's home, and continued with one accord in prayer as Jesus commanded to them, together altogether, the number of people was 120. About a week later, when the day of Pentecost came, what happened to them? Let's read Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Let's read together. Acts 2, verse 1, 4 through 4. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with one another tongues as Spirit gave them utterance. This passage shows us the birth of the church. Let us think about it dividing in four parts. When they were praying in one accord in one place on the day of Pentecost, first of all, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from the heaven and filled the whole house. They heard the sound like a rushing mighty wind. And the wind of the Holy Spirit did not come to the people, but to the place where they are. When the Holy Spirit comes, He controls the atmosphere of the place where we are. I pray that the Holy Spirit come here and it takes the atmosphere of Solomon's porch in His hands. I pray that the wind of the Holy Spirit does blow not only to this room, but to the Hong Kong Korean Church and to all other churches in Hong Kong. Someone told me that the wind of the Holy Spirit is like the wind of the spring. When the spring wind blows, flower come into blossom. Even though someone breaks the stems of a flower with a delicate nerve, as he goes around, the flower will flush again and again. No one can stop the bird's stems, which are stretching out from the ground all over the place. When the wind of the revival was blowing hard toward the Korean church, God has called me as a missionary in 1979. At the time, China was the closed country. There was no diplomatic relation between China and Korea. But whenever I prayed for the China, my heart was burnt. My heart was a heart within me. And I could not stop weeping for the people of China. There was no relatives and friends in the China, so I couldn't understand why I am crying. But one thing I knew was that God has called me for China, and I will be in China in the future. In 1980, a grand evangelical assembly took place in Seoul, Korea. Billy Graham and other famous speakers came to Seoul, Korea, and stood at the platform in front of more than 1 million people in open field called Yohido. At the time, one of the main speakers strongly emphasized mission, demanding us to stand up if there is someone who had made the decision to be a missionary for more than a year at least. Many people stood up at the time, and I was one of them. Before I immigrated to Hawaii in 1981, I talked to my friends that I'm going to go to the United States, not to live there, but to go to China as a missionary after graduating seminary. So pray for me. My church friend gave me a new Bible and a cross as a farewell present, just like today, and wrote letters on the postcard, encouraging me and praising the Lord who has called me as a missionary. After so many years, I finally completed my study in college and a seminary as a father of three sons. But living in the United States was not easy as much as I thought. I was thinking about right timing. Do I have to leave right now after I graduate? After my graduation, or after a few years more, preparing for my supporting group. While I was working on the campus, I came to think about the Sermon on the Mountain, Matthew chapter 6. Look at the bird of the sky. Consider the lilies of the field. Do not worry, for my heavenly Father knows, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I finally concluded that I'm going to leave right away. If Jesus really said these things, He will provide my needs, because Jesus never tell lies. After I informed my senior pastor of my decision, I received the word from the Lord while I was worshiping and praising Him in the Friday night meeting. It was the Isaiah 43 verse 2 and 3. It says, when you pass through the water, I will be with you. And through the river, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. When you pass through the water, I will be with you. I immediately understood what does that mean. Passing through the water means I will go into my promised land, which is China. God said, I will be with you. He will be with me. There was no problem to interpret the front part of the given word. But the problem was the next part. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. What does walking through the fire mean? It was difficult to interpret. I could not understand what does that mean exactly, so I just guessed that probably it means that there will be a sort of the difficulty after I got into get into China. However, my guess was wrong. When I was in the last year of the seminary, I've got a small lump under my ear. Sometimes it was bothering me a little, especially when I got a stress from the exam. It was bothering me. I thought it was probably lymph. So I decided to check it out before my insurance expired. So I went to the doctor's office, and he said that he's not quite sure what is this. He said it might be a lymph or lump on his saliva gland. He said there are two options. We can take it out or do an exam to know what is that. So I decided to have the operation without the exam because my insurance expiration date was coming towards. And so I thought I'm going to have a little surgery in his office. But he said he will do an operation in the hospital because our neck is a very complicated area to operate, to do a surgery. Anyway, I went to the hospital and had a surgery. And about a week later, I got a phone call from my doctor when I was in at home, my home alone. He said that lump, he took it out from my saliva gland, was the cancer. It was the shocking news. He said it was the unexpected result to him, and we need to find another specialist to do another operation again. So Jane and I just canceled our flight reservation to Hong Kong, and Jane continued to work in bank for my insurance. I had a surgery once again, and then I did radiation treatment for 10 weeks from the Monday to the Friday in the UCLA hospital. I was walking through the fire as God told me. It was painful and a difficult time of my life. But Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3 says, God was with me when I was going through the fire. As the Isaiah 43 says, I was not burnt, nor the flames scorched me, because God is the Lord, our Father, the Holy One of Israel, my Savior. Before I go into the next point of the sermon, I want to point out a fact. If I did not decide to go to the China immediately, when God told me to do so, I almost sure that I would not find my cancer for a long period of time. If it was the case, it might be too late to be survived. Let's go back to the Acts chapter 2, verse 2. Chapter 2 and 3. Let's read verse 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Secondly, there was the fire of the Holy Spirit in the room. They saw what seems to be tongues of fire. They heard the wind, but they saw the fire. The wind came to the place where they were sitting, but the fire came upon where? Upon each person's head. after the wind of the Holy Spirit prepare his way, what will be happened? The fire of the Holy Spirit comes and set upon each of us. The fire is the power. The fire is the presence, God's presence. My brothers and sisters, there is fire on the ground. There was fire in the aircraft so that I could come here from the to Hong Kong from the Thailand. There was fire in the inner bus so that you could come here to worship the Lord. If there is no fire, there is no power. There is no movement. Water must be boiled to be steamed so that we can cook our meal, so that we can turn turbines to make electricity. Without fire, nothing can be done. I pray that the fire of the Holy Spirit falls upon you and me. May the fire of evangelism fall upon us. May the fire of revival fall upon us, not only to me, not only to you, but also to all the churches in Hong Kong and all the churches in China. Let's ask God to have the fire in our prayer. Let's ask God to have a fire in our witness. Let us ask God to have the fire in our daily study, Bible study, and our sermon in our daily life. Let's read the Bible, verse 4. They were all filled of the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Thirdly, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. When the fire set upon each of them, the Spirit of the Lord started to enter into them. The Spirit of the Lord came to them, starting to touch them, starting to be with them, starting to govern and rule over them. I pray that such a wonderful work of the Holy Spirit took place in you and me today. Fourthly, they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak. I also pray that such experience can be yours and mine. Now, we are living in the time of the New Testament. Therefore, we should not live like the people in Old Testament. Believers in Old Testament must live their lives by just reading the Bible, studying the Bible, and keeping the word of the Lord as much as they can. If they made a mistake, there was a sacrificial atonement for them to be forgiven and to start a new life once again. But we, as a believer in the New Testament period, should not live our lives just like them. We must be different from them because the Holy Spirit is within us. Believers in the Old Testament had their own task for their own time, but we have our own task. In order to fulfill our given task as a believer in the New Testament, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit and we have to walk by Him. So far, I share with you the importance of the Holy Spirit, telling you that why the anointment of the Holy Spirit is essential to our life and our ministry. If Jesus starts His public ministry after the anointment of the Holy Spirit, if the great movement of the revival took place in Jerusalem after the Holy Spirit came down upon 120 disciples like a wind and a fire, problem solving is very simple. We have to hold Him. Even in the unconsciousness, don't ignore Him. You have to hold Him. Don't make Him sad or groan. think about him and seek after him and love him and try to hear what he says and then follow him and walk with him in prayer and supplication.
Test. Okay. Sorry. I was wearing the headphones, so I thought it was my hair or something. It's okay. My bad. Chest and equipment. Again, since you guys ruined the mode now, I asked them to share because I hope you just got the sort of the gist of what he's trying to say. And I just in talking, there was a lot of things that this family went through to actually get to China that they're about to enter into. And a lot of trials, you know, cancer along the way. And now I just thought it was just a great testimony. And when I look at John and when I look at Jane and when I see their family, you know, there's a hard part of my heart that I get moved because, you know, my parents are missionaries, you know, been there for so long. So I understand what that commitment is really all about. But on top of that, you know, just trying to understand, you know, a kind of like a real strength, you know, that this family really has. And I think a lot of times maybe it's not because, you know, I mean, this is actually the first time that we've heard from John personally. And a lot of us, you know, we know a little bit about them here and there. But there's so much strength and a lot of sacrifice. And they're giving themselves to God's work in China. And it was a long road to get there. You know, as you heard, God called him in 1981. Is that 79? Man, do the math, right? It's been a long time, you know, compared to they're on their way now. And, you know, and then just these trials came. But, you know, they persevered every step of the way. You know, and I think it's a great testimony of what the Lord can do if we just say yes. You know, and just sort of let him take care of the rest. And, you know, I was really moved when we talked last time about the story of his cancer and, you know, the fact that, you know, God sort of put the green lights on, but it was for another purpose. I think it really speaks to us when we're asking God for things and we want to move on in our life and these things are happening, and yet we just see these green or these red lights from God. And then you have to sit back and think, maybe he's up to something else. Maybe he's doing something else in our life. You know, and I really appreciated all that. I was going to share a little bit, but I'm not going to, okay, and stuff. And I felt like I was as much as we needed to hear today. And I was going to share actually on finishing a fast, but I'm just going to Xerox my notes and just, if you are fasting, just pick it up for me after the service today. But let's close our eyes. You know, and looking, actually the whole time when he was talking, I was just sort of looking at my own life. And, you know, I really haven't been through much difficulty, I'll be honest. You know, we had normal things, you know, bankruptcies and things like that, but, you know, no one really got sick in our family, and my parents are still together. You know, broke a couple bones along the way, but... And the whole time I was just asking myself, you know, will my faith stand the test of time and stand the test of trials? And as we launch into 2004, we are making a commitment as a church, and I hope you are personally. And for the first part of the year, we're just coming to the Lord and saying, just as the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And thus I launched on a new series on prayer. We'll continue next week. But just a simple, Lord, teach us to pray. And all we're trying to say to the Lord is God, is John saying, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Lord, I need your spirit to come. And it's not my discipline, God. It's not my willpower. Lord, not my mind, as the scripture says, by the power of the spirit, says the Lord. As we just enter into a time of ministry and prayer, I just want to invite you to just give yourself to the Lord. You know, many of us are too competent for our own goods. And we've filled our lives by saying, I can do this, I can do that. It's about time we come to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, I really can't do that, God. Lord, I need you. And so I want to invite you just to spend a little time with the Lord today and just respond to John's message to us. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come. And if you are going through difficulties and, you know, that maybe some were displayed in John's life, and maybe someone in your family is sick, why don't you offer prayers to the Lord right now? And we as a church, we'll join you in these prayers. Please let us know your requests. Man, we'll fight the fight with you. And so I just want to encourage you, as the worship team just leads us a little bit, that you just go before the Lord and just, if you don't know what to pray, just say simply, Lord, I just need you. God, I just need you. So let's pray. As you're praying, if you feel like you need some help praying, just raise your hand. Someone will come and stand alongside you and pray with you. So worship team, just lead us in some worship. Let's go before the Lord.
Fill me complete.